Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best: provide cancer updates, research, and education. In this week's episode, we spoke with Donna Weigel, a survivor of cervical cancer who is currently battling ovarian cancer, and who last summer trekked across the country on a teal and white Harley-Davidson to raise awareness about ovarian cancer. Weigel, who said it took almost 2.5 years to receive her diagnosis, wanted to inform as many women as possible about the symptoms of ovarian cancer so hopefully more women could get diagnosed sooner rather than later. Weigel, who enjoys riding motorcycles, saddled up and drove more than 6,000 miles and handed out more than 700 pamphlets on ovarian cancer to people she came across and raised more than $55,000 for various charities.
In the beginning, I thought what I would do would be, where can I meet women? Where can I be guaranteed to meet women to share my message, to get an ovarian cancer symptom card in their hands? I had a flag made up. I had a little flagpole thing on the back of my bike so I could fly this flag that said, you know, Teal on Wheels, Ovarian Cancer Awareness Tour. And so I thought, the grocery store. Women are going in and out of grocery store every day, every minute of every day. I'll go to a grocery store in every little podunk town or bigger towns that I come through, and I'll just approach women there. Well, I want to tell you something. I never went to one grocery store because what I quickly realized was there were women in the motel parking lot, women and men. There were women and men in the Applebee's I had my dinner at night. I could even go to national parks and see something that I wanted to see. And there were women and men. And the thing about, I thought, I'm only going to give these cards to women. Well, that quickly changed. I recognized that I was encountering men. You know, sometimes a man would come up and ask about the bike. The bike was kind of flashy. As I said, you know, some people would say it was ugly, but I have to tell you, I've grown to love it. I love the bike. And I told my husband I would sell it when I got home, pay off the loan, but now I can't sell the bike. We've been through this journey together. And so the bike is staying. Both bikes are staying for now. So everybody that I approached was very welcoming of my message. I would tell them I was doing this cross-country journey on this bike and that I was spreading awareness about ovarian cancer. I would tell them at that point, I knew I was stage 4 because I'd had a biopsy done on a tumor in my chest. And that pushed me to stage 4. I would tell them I was a stage 4 ovarian cancer patient, and people are just kind. This journey across the country, two things that I walked away with, the kindness of strangers and the beauty of our country. You know, places like Utah and Idaho, the mountains of Idaho and places like that, that I had never been before. And so I distributed over 700 ovarian cancer symptom cards. I fell short. It was the only goal I didn't achieve. I wanted to give out 1,000 ovarian cancer cards, but I only gave out about 770 cards in the end. I counted what I had left when I got back home. And sometimes people made donations along the way. Sometimes I'd be, like I said, maybe at an Applebee's having dinner, and I would be, and I always sat at the bar, and I would share my story with people who were also sitting at the bar, and I would go to pay my tab at, I'd have a cheeseburger and a beer or two, and whoever I was talking with and had shared my message with, they would say, "We want to get her meal for her," and I would say probably maybe a dozen times or so, people bought me a meal on the road. Just very nice, caring people that I met all across the country. And so, I did 6,198 miles total on my trip. I did over 5,000 of those miles were ridden solo. My husband actually met me in Utah in Salt Lake City, and, he rode for 3 days in Utah with me. He got a rental bike there, and then he flew back home, and I headed to Colorado. And then my husband rode his bike from Maine down to Pennsylvania, and he met me when I got across the country to the East Coast. He met me in Pennsylvania, which is where I'm from, and he rode back the last leg of the journey from Pennsylvania to Maine. And an interesting story, my high school friends, I'm 60 years old now, my high school friends got together, and they hosted this beef and beer fundraiser. It was a Sunday in September. My trip was through the month of September, which is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. I thought that would be a good time to come across the country. It was very hot last September coming across the country. I had some health issues on the road, which I knew would be a possibility. But I was able to overcome them. When we got to Pennsylvania, I had to hold up for a couple of days because my friends had this big beef and beer thing going, music, DJ, the whole thing. And it was on a Sunday. And I think I arrived in Pennsylvania probably on Thursday. And so I stayed for a few days, which was actually good to get a nice little rest before the last leg home. And I went to this event. They wanted me to bring the bike. You know, my husband rode down and met me. So we went, and it was really wonderful. It was people that I went to elementary school with, people that I went to high school with. Some of my college friends were there. You know, my father-in-law was there, my aunts and uncles, my sister and her family. So it was really great to see everybody come together and support me. And my friends that did that raised just shy of $7,000, which really pushed me up. I when I arrived home to Maine, I was at around $47,000, and my friend, their generosity pushed me up to about $47,000 mark. My goal being $50,000, and I'm like, okay, I'm all the way home. I didn't get killed. I didn't get run over by a truck. You know, I shared my message. I gave out all these cards, but I'm $3,000 short of my fundraising goal. So I just returned to Facebook again and went on and just said, you know, my trip was a complete success in really every way. And I said, the only thing that would make it better would be if I could reach the $50,000. If you can, you know, if you can help me in any way. Well, I went from 47,000, I think, to 56,000 in like no time. People who had already donated earlier, some of them gave a second time, things like that. And I was just so amazed at the generosity of people throughout this whole thing, what people did for me, how they helped me. It was just, you know, it was really, really special, really special. I mean, I'm somebody who has always worked in some capacity to give back to people. And I felt like that gift came back to me, you know, a million times what I have given in my life. So that was really amazing. And so, you know, I one organization, Turning the Tide Ovarian Cancer Retreats that I go to, I gave them $30,000 of the money. That was the biggest group. I didn't do 10, 10, 10 like I had originally planned because I had a lot more money now to give out. And I want to tell you something. It's really an amazing feeling to give away money. To like give money to an organization that can really use the money, that is doing good work in the field that they're working in. So I donated to several ovarian cancer nonprofits, and then I made a donation to the Beth C. Wright Cancer Center because they had acted as my fiscal sponsor throughout the whole thing, and they were wonderful to work with.
Weigle notes that even though the cross-country ride ended last year, her journey to continue to raise awareness isn't over.
But I don't think it is done because there's still more awareness to raise. There's still more people that that haven't heard my story, that don't know my story, that don't know ovarian cancer symptoms, things like that. And so I've kept the bike. I didn't sell the bike when I came home. And I'm trying to figure out, I've been invited to speak at a women's motorcycle rally in Pennsylvania, but you know, with COVID-19 now, I don't know if that's going to be taking place in June. But I think that I can do more local, like just New England kind of touring around with the bike and continue to raise awareness. And just simply, it's a simple thing. You hand a card to someone, you know, along the way across the country, if I would encounter, like I was at the Harley Davidson store getting an oil change one day. And most likely you're going to encounter men versus women there. And I would just say to men, I'd go, hey, do you have a wife or a girlfriend? It sort of felt like you were like hitting on them, I guess. Yeah. Hey, do you have a wife or a girlfriend? And they probably thought, well, who's this lady? And I would explain what I was doing. And I would just say, would you mind sharing this card with you know, your mother, your sister, your daughter, you know, whoever it might be that's in your life. And I had several people say, oh, could I have more than one? Could I have some for my coworkers? You know, I have three daughters. Could I have three, you know, and one for my wife? Absolutely. You know, I was happy to give out multiple cards where that was appropriate to do. A manager of a Comfort Inn in Salt Lake City asked me if she could have a bunch of cards for all of her female employees. There were a lot of women that worked there at that Comfort Inn. Oh, certainly you can. And then the most amazing thing happened at the very end of the trip. I knew I was going to be heading for some surgery shortly after returning from the trip. My surgeon wanted to take this chest tumor out in June when we first found out what it was. And I said, I can't do it. He's like, what do you mean you can't do it? I said, I can't do it. I'm going on this big trip in September. And he's like, well, that's 3 months away. I said, if anything goes wrong, the trip's off. I've taken money from people. I'm committed to the trip. I said, the surgery's going to have to wait until October. And I'm kind of a gambler that way, you know, with my health. If there's something I'd rather do than go to the hospital, I'm going to do that first and then go to the hospital. Anyway, he actually said, I think it's fine that you wait. This has been a slow-growing tumor. I don't think it's going to negatively impact the outcome. So So I was headed for surgery in October when I got back, and I was home for about a week or so before that surgery. And I got a private Facebook message from a woman whose name I didn't recognize. And she wrote to me and she said, I'm writing to you. She said, you met my husband this summer. And it wasn't actually on the Teal on Wheels trip. It was before I had started. It was when I was just starting to do my fundraising. I had been on another motorcycle charitable ride. And she said, you met my husband. She said his name didn't mean anything to me. She told me where I met him. And I remember, you know, there, we went there for lunch and it was a Masonic lodge. And she said, and you gave him one of your cards. And she said, this woman was 39 years old. She'd been sick for 2 years. She couldn't figure out, nobody could figure out what's wrong with her. She said, so armed with your card and your, and my husband shared a little bit of your story, how it took you over 2 years to get your diagnosis. She said, I got an appointment with my gynecologist and my gynecologist said, your problem is not gynecological in nature. The gynecologist insisted it wasn't. And this young woman wrote to me and she said, I insisted on a transvaginal ultrasound because that's what your card said. If you have these symptoms for more than 2 weeks, these are the tests you should get. CA-125, transvaginal ultrasound, pelvic rectal exam. So she insisted on a transvaginal ultrasound and the doctor finally appeased her, ordered it because she was so, you know, adamant about getting this test done. Well, she had the test done and it showed a mass. She ended up being diagnosed with stage 2 ovarian cancer. She was 39 years old or is 39 years old. She went to Boston to have her surgery. She came back. She actually lives in Maine, about 50 miles from me. And she came back to Maine and she did her chemotherapy here at a cancer center in Maine. And she wrote her little message to me. It was 4 paragraphs long. And in the last paragraph, she went, you saved my life and I can never thank you enough. And I thought about that and I don't believe I saved her life. I believe she would have gotten a diagnosis sooner or later, but most likely later, I guess. And she might've been a stage 3 or stage 4 at that point. But what I had set out to do on my trip to get the symptoms in the hands of women so that maybe in my mind, 2 years down the road or 5 years down the road, they might have a couple of these symptoms. And I thought by the unique way I was traveling, they'd remember meeting me. And they might not remember the symptoms at that point, but they'd be like, that woman on that teal motorcycle. And then they might, you know, look it up on the internet. What are the symptoms? And then they might say, oh my gosh, I do have those symptoms. And they'd be able to better advocate for themselves. I never really expected to hear back from anyone that I gave a card to because I could be gone by that time. You know, it could be many years down the road and I could have passed on by then. But to come back and within like a week of returning from this trip and hear from someone who I gave a card to, or I gave a card to their husband, contacting me and giving me their story was such an amazing, it made the whole thing full circle from what I had planned to do, set out to do, had achieved. And now I knew that what my end goal was possible. And that's one person. And I can only assume there will be others. So what I realized is there's way more advocacy work to do. There's way more people that, need to learn about ovarian cancer and need to learn the symptoms. When I was diagnosed, and one of the first things I did was went online to try to find out as much as I could about ovarian cancer. And when I read the symptoms, and I work in healthcare, when I read the symptoms, I said, oh my gosh, I have every single one of those symptoms. And what I realized, it's not just women that need to learn these symptoms, it's healthcare providers. You know, breast cancer has done a great job at promoting itself. You know, I think the statistics now are 1 in every 8 women will develop breast cancer in their life. The statistics when I was diagnosed with ovarian cancer, 1 in 78 women will develop ovarian cancer. So it's just not as many people. And, you know, everybody knows someone who has had breast cancer if they haven't had a breast cancer patient in their immediate family. But most people don't know anybody that has had ovarian cancer. And so therefore it's not talked about in social circles. Doctors have probably most primary care doctors have never had a patient with ovarian cancer. And that's where you go when you first develop these symptoms. You go to your primary care doctor and you say, I have this symptom and I have that symptom and I have this symptom. And in my case, you know, you got tested for gallbladder, you got tested for this, you got tested for that. Nobody ever said, maybe you have ovarian cancer. And so it wasn't until I had to have, you know, an emergency surgery, and they found my cancer on the outside of my small intestine, it had spread, that I got a diagnosis of ovarian cancer. So, you know, I think there's still plenty of work to be done, and there will be for years, if not decades. You know, money coming in for research on ovarian cancer is nowhere near money coming in for research on lung cancer and breast cancer and prostate cancer and colon cancer. And I recognize that, they're looking for return on investment. You know, how many patients have this cancer versus other cancers, and they're going to put their money where they can save the most lives as well. You know, ovarian cancer is a very deadly cancer. Prognosis for most women is very poor. And that's a really scary, to live in that world. You know, I'm approaching 4 years of living in that place. And, you know, and I've have found a way to live with it and make peace with it, I guess, you know. But it doesn't mean, you know, when things get worse that I'm like, you know, I mean, I have my ups and downs. It's like being on a roller coaster ride, really. And, you know, I'd like to get off the roller coaster ride, but there's only one way off, and that's, I'm not ready for that yet.
Before Weagle started out on her trip, she said she didn't know what to truly expect. But after completing the nearly 6,200-mile trip, she got off the bike having learned quite a bit about herself and the people she met during her journey.
When I came home from the trip, I was on such a high by completing the trip. I really didn't know when I left home whether I'd be able to complete the trip. And that wasn't really a problem because, if I got sick in Kansas and had to fly home and ship the bike home, I would have already raised plenty of awareness by raising the money to get started on the trip. And I would have, you know, completed part of the trip. So to me, there was no failure. I couldn't fail. There was no way to fail. And I think the trip was as successful as it could possibly have been. And what I really would say is my takeaway on the trip was, and I think I've touched on this too, there are many, many really kind and generous people in our lives and in our world. They may be our family, they may be our friends, they may be complete strangers. And that was really something that I wasn't expecting, complete strangers. You know, as I would, you know, be sharing my story with people, it was amazing how many times people would just simply say, "Can I give you a hug?" And I mean, you don't walk up to strangers and say, "Can I give you a hug?" You definitely don't walk up to anybody right now and say, "Can I give you a hug?" But, you know, I was in the car wash one day in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, and I was washing my bike, and the woman came in to get the change out of the chain, you know, where you put the money in. And I gave her a card, and, you know, she worked there at the car wash. And I told her a little bit about what I was doing. And she said to me, "Oh my gosh." She said, "If I ever feel like I'm having a bad day," she goes, "I'm going to think of you," she said. And she goes, "Can I give you a hug?" And I'm like, "Absolutely, you can give me a hug," you know? And so that was really amazing to me that people were so, so kind and willing to listen to the story that I had to tell, that I had to share. And I think in sharing my story, not just giving them the card and walking away, you know, they pick up a card on a counter somewhere, in sharing the story, that will resonate with some people, and they'll be able to remember this encounter with me. And therefore, I think that, you know, should they ever themselves come upon these symptoms, they'll know what to do. Or if a family member, a female family member, come up with these against these symptoms, I think they'll be able to help out their family.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.